Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Upon stepping away from the heart and hearth, Ogvar stumbled across a cluster of outlawed meaty mushrooms. After a brief conflict of his personal principles, he presented a fairly flimsy pretext for taking possession of them, cleverly convincing Cuin to advocate his actions in the process. As they all took a trundle around town, they found themselves in a quaint courtyard containing a collection of establishments that provided essential supplies for the locals. Drinking in the ambiance created by the sounds and smells from within the walls of the small stores, they were inspired to investigate further to see what prizes they could procure. The sorceress heads immediately for the haberdashery with a clear idea of what she wanted. Meanwhile, the others were drawn by the aromatic delicacies on offer at Buck's Bakes as Cuin wound back the clock and reminisced over many mealtime memories from his childhood. Episode 107, Doing a Deal.
Okay, well, to the cake shop.
Okay, so you head over to Buck's Bakes. Okay, so as you approach the shop, it is again this open door shop, and it seems to be something, this is quite a common theme. Most of the shops in this area, that you know, the doors are open. Just for anyone to wander in off the street. There doesn't appear to be this kind of... most towns, you know, Selhoff, Junau, even Gloomrest and Ironfort, doors were closed and when people came in, a bell rang. This is, you get the sense that this community, they are such a small, tight-knit community, they don't have visitors. And, you know, from what has been said by Mary and Al, you are very much under the impression that visitors are a rarity in this part. And it's very much this mentality of, this is a village, we all trust each other, no one is going to take more than their fair share. You know, we all work. It's almost this slightly communistic approach to things. It's very much, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, we all share in what we've got. So the doors are open, there are no bells, people don't need to be aware when people walk in. It's always that kind of attitude. The door is open, and you can feel, as you get closer, you actually feel the heat coming from the shop itself. Obviously ovens are going and it's going to be a warm atmosphere in there. But it is an absolutely gorgeous collection of smells. And it only gets stronger, you smell fresh bread, jams, sweet scents, the scent of kind of burning, caramelising sugar, and again this kind of savoury meat scent, and you actually smell kind of more meats as you get closer. You get this kind of like almost spicy sausage scent, but you also get this kind of smell of, you'd say, like Cuin. It brings back particular memories of you from when you were, you know, living at home with your parents in the de Greymont household, where you'd be served at dinner time, sat on this very formal meal around this long table, with obviously you being at the end, being the youngest, and your brothers ahead of you leading up to your parents. And you know, they'd wheel in on silver serving trolleys like meat pies, which they'd place on the table. It's a wonderful aroma of beautiful buttery, rich pastry, which when it's cut open, gravy and meat and veg fills the air.
Oh, she's making me hungry. This is ridiculous.
And it is almost like, you know, growing up in this very rich, very kind of noble environment, your family's very wealthy, you would have the creme de la creme of food, the richest cuts of meat, you know, the best cooks and chefs available in your household. And you would be used to this very, very rich fare. Obviously, then coming away and joining the church, obviously, the food there is nowhere near the quality. It is, you know, mass-made food to serve the massive Cathars. And while it is still good quality food, and it is very nutritionally valuable, it isn't the same kind of indulgence. And even going around to different inns and obviously experiencing different foods from different places, you know, Selhoff, Dunal, the Guild. This food, although it's good and it's hearty, it's a hearty meal, it is just, you know, it didn't really ever have the same kind of quality as those meals you used to have at home. Perhaps they held a different quality in sense of the memories that you were building with the people that you were with at the time were, you know, more valuable, and they provided a richer experience than sat at this stiff dining table. But the food itself, the smell, it smells of equal quality. It is gorgeous.
This takes me back. The smells. This looks like some really really good food. Takes me back to when I was a child, and the smells coming from the kitchens, where the chefs used to prepare the food for mummy and daddy, and the rest. Since I, you know, started at the church, the food sort of went downhill. There's plenty of it, you know, but it was more plain fare. But this just smells like heaven.
Yes, I'm not quite used to such finer things as you are, but yes, I can appreciate it. It was hearty and good, and yes, that's quite good.
I think we should see if we can get a few, you know, rather than our, you know, the dry rations are serviceable, shall I say. Maybe if we get a few of these bits and pieces to take away as a little treat.
It's okay. It sounds I'm agreeable to that.
Okay. Wonderful. Let's see what's what.
So going into the shop itself, the door is slightly recessed. There are a couple of steps leading up, and you actually kind of enter past the front edge of the shop. It's almost like a step back in. So you head up and you head through the door. And again, as you pass through the door, you actually see that where you entered into the courtyard, you couldn't see from the angle, and obviously the door being recessed. But again, you have this kind of beaded curtain, clearly made of just like wooden beads. And they're shaped a bit like orzo, like the pasta, that kind of shape, just strung through, like kind of oblongy, rounded beads. And as you pass through, they tinkle over your armour queuing, creating a little bit of a clatter. And Ogvar, perhaps you pass through a little more quietly. But as you enter in and you kind of turn left, you are greeted with a fully wooden interior. You have stone walls, but the interior of this place is wooden. Floors are wooden, scuffed over with obviously years of use. And you can actually see along the floor there are points which have been grooves and divots that have been worn down, where people have clearly been stood there queuing for their food and just queuing to get their goods. And it is almost this kind of little snaking path you can see leads from the doorway round and then in like a big loop back out the door. And the floor is coated with a fine coat of flour. Harsh lines have kind of been cut through, obviously where a besom, an old broom, has been used to brush it out, obviously with this kind of very woody, sticky kind of bristles, which aren't doing a very effective job because the flowers, so fine, but it is leaving kind of roughly kind of brushed marks in the floor. And this room, you can see there's a wooden counter. It's a low wooden counter, probably only like 2 foot off the floor, very low. And the rest of it is shelved up to eye level, shelved, and there is a big kind of glass panel in front of it. And looking into this display cabinet, you can see metal trays. They're rectangular or square, and they are filled with baked goods which have been slotted in, obviously hot off the oven. You can see some gaps on the shelves where actually the wood you can see is like kind of burnt and blackened and discoloured, obviously piping hot out of the oven onto the shelf, ready to people to take. The selection you can see is quite sparse currently, but you'd imagine that that's because there aren't many people around right now. Everyone is in the fields, and this is something obviously Mary's told you, they're all off working in the fields. So the selection is quite sparse, but what is there looks delightful. And you can see the source of these wonderful, wonderful smells. You can see little kind of almost like danishes, little kind of these an absolute plethora of like small pastries, flaky pastry. I mean, you can see where even the slightest movement of putting them into the case has disturbed some of the pastry and it's flaked off. It is that delicate looking, and it is all this kind of almost exuding its own golden glow. They are that beautifully baked. You can see stacked behind the counter on a shelf which is actually behind the counter on the wall, racks of bread, freshly baked bread, and there are loads of different types of bread. You can see kind of like tiger bread, you can see batons, you can see kind of these big square traditional loaves, you can see small round crusty rolls, and like a variation of them. You don't just have rolls, you have plain rolls, seeded rolls, you can see ones which have clearly got pumpkin seeds in, you can see ones which are tiger bread. You know, every single type of bread there is about 6 different variations, if not more, of these bread. And they are, you know, you can see ones loaded with seeds and grain, brown, white. It is an absolute kind of, for such a small place, they have an amazingly large selection of goods. You can see in this cabinet, kind of this, kind of going towards the meat selection, it's very clearly divided into kind of sweet and a meat. Sweet selection, you can see things like tarts, you can see more of these stagberry tarts displayed on the shelving on the shelf, and they're all, Mary's were lovely looking, but they were just plain tarts. These ones, they've got the golden crumbly pastry, the pink jam, and then you can actually see a pastry deer, and you can say this is probably made with a cutting tool with like an impression in it, a pastry deer with antlers on the middle of this tart, and it's clearly been coated with egg or something, and it's glowing golden. They are the most gorgeous looking pastries you have ever seen, and this rivals Ironwick with the bakery there. And the meaty selection, you can see sausage rolls, and they are proper sausage rolls, they are thick, they are chunky, you can see the meat spilling out of both ends. It smells spicy and mouth-watering. And the source of this kind of, another source of this meaty smell is you can see a pie. And there are several small pies, and they are clearly kind of palm-sized, singular person, singular serving pies. They look absolutely gorgeous, and they've got little signs, little stands, and you can see it says venison pie in the window. And it is, I mean, just standing here you are drooling. It is that, you know, overwhelmingly kind of gorgeous.
Over there, lad. And about you, with these look rather nice.
Oh yes, I'm not entirely sure what they all are, but yes, it.
Well, I think that one's a venison pie.
Oh, yes, yes.
No sausage rolls.
Oh, I've never had one of those before. What's one of them?
Sausage roll?
Hmm.
Yes. Oh, it's how do I put this? It's like a mince meat with a bit of bread. rolled into a roll and then put inside pastry and baked.
Sounds quite nice.
Oh, yeah, I used to peach some from the from down in the kitchens whenever I could when I was young. Well, haven't had one for absolutely ages, apart from the cup that Laura gave me. But yes, right, let's get to business. Right.
But like, it looks like I'm following you because you seem to be the more experienced person in this field of.
Well, I just want to make sure we get some before Laura comes in.
So as you stand there, you can hear the sounds of someone clearly in behind or kind of in the kitchen area, moving stuff around. You can hear like kind of scrubbing sound, you can hear someone cleaning up a pan, just as you're kind of stood here observing. And yeah, you can hear the sound of an oven door opening. You get the sound of the, obviously, like a clearly a heavy, heavy iron door being opened, swung open. You can hear a kind of a, as a fire roars. You hear something being kind of loaded in. You just see them like Mary did with her big kind of wooden spatula, loading something in. But this time you hear it kind of scraping in and then a heavier scraping, door being shut, kind of. And from around the corner you see a man probably in his late 30s, you would say. He's quite a plain looking fellow. He's got a thick hatch of blonde hair. Which flops, you would say it would normally flop kind of heavily over his forehead, but he has got it kind of, he's got like a hat or something, just pulling his hair back off his face. He's quite ruddy-cheeked. He almost looks like he's got a sunburn from the ovens. Obviously spending a lot of time in the oven, his cheeks are rosy and almost this permanent rosiness, which is kind of being caused by cooking for, you know, a profession. And he appears around the corner, one elbow kind of propped up by his ear, the other one kind of holding this, almost like he's gripping a shovel, but in a very high position. And he rushes around the corner using very quick, short steps. And you see he's got a tray balanced on the end of this, and he tips it and it goes straight into the display case, depositing a fresh load of baked goods in front of your very eyes. And these baked goods are, it's something that you probably haven't seen before, but it is a small, if you take like a small cert, like a side plate, probably that kind of diameter, a couple of, you know, that, I don't know how many inches that is, that's like,
probably about 6-7 inches.
Yeah, about six inches across, a circle of pastry. And within this circle of pastry, there have been slots cut in which have been stuffed with pieces of venison and pieces of kind of rosemary and thyme. And as you kind of take a closer look at it, you can see that this has been stuffed in kind of venison and beef and pork, then venison, beef, pork, all the way around the edge. So you've got this kind of almost like a tear and share pastry kind of thing. It's really, really unusual looking. But he drops in and you see he kind of pulls back on the paddle and then drops into a, like it's like a barrel basically, which has got a numerous paddles just resting, and obviously in there he just grabs one when he needs one. He's wearing a kind of a plain linen shirt, very plain trousers, you can see through the gaps in the shelving. He's got like an apron on, and his shirt sleeves are rolled up well above the elbow. He claps his hands together in front of you, looks at you quite expectant, and goes, "Oh, how can I help you?"
We're just come to have a look at your various divine smelling foods. What was that that you just put there? That looks a bit strange. It's not one meat, I take it.
No. We call them meat rounds. What it is, a bit of pastry, and we pop in some venison, pork, beef. Just pop them in there and some seasoning and bake away, and yeah. They're quite delicious. Would you like to sample one?
Well, what do you reckon, Barbara? Would you like to sample a bit of this?
Yes, please. Available.
My pleasure. And he reaches in and he's got a pair of tongs. He's actually grabbed two pair of tongs and he does that thing which you can't resist doing when you've got tongs and he clack, 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 clack. And he reaches in and he's got what appears to be like a couple of wooden dishes, wooden kind of like serving platters. Obviously he puts stuff in there when he needs to. And he pulls one out supporting both sides, pops it into the bowl and it folds because the bowl is curved. And it folds in and he goes, oh, help yourself. And he reaches up because this top of the serving counter is at eye level. He reaches up and puts the bowl on top for you and, you know, pushes it towards the edge. Oh, help yourself. If you don't mind me asking while you're sampling, don't see many new faces around these parts. Are you passing through or...?
A bit of both. We will be passing through, but we've rescued young Ivana and her brother, brought them back, and we're going to have a look at dealing with any problems that are around. But we were advised to come and taste your wares, and before the fourth member of our party gets here, we'd like to try a few bits before she scoffs the lot, shall we say. I'll have a little taste. Do you want some, Esther?
Oh, yes, please do.
I'll just cut it blind into three.
You just tear it apart.
One doesn't use this. If one can use a utensil, one does.
This is where he gets his sword out, isn't it?
Bastard sword.
There aren't any utensils available. Okay. It is very much just like a tear and share thing. Okay. But as you tear it apart, there is like a cheese, almost. You pull it and it strings apart and it is, like, you have to give it a good pull to snap it.
I'll do the best I can, but here you go. There you go. Here's one for you, some for you. Esther.
Esther takes hers and she's got like a big long, and the piece of round goes straight up in the air. And so she gets her tongue in and like the cheese goes straight in. But it is. I mean, you wouldn't think that venison and cheese would go well together, but whatever he's done when he cooked this, it is gorgeous.
Oh dear. Ah. Oh, that's rather nice, that.
Yes, it's very good.
I learned very early on that as soon as the food's there, eat it as quickly as possible, or there will be none, especially with three older brothers.
Oh, hi, guys. I was looking for you. What you got? What's doing?
Have a try this.
That smells good.
I just get the image of a law like a... dog.
Yeah, that's a law, right? Yeah.
You could see her floating across. Try this. We've just had some.
Oh, thank you. That's very tasty.
That is absolutely.
I've never had anything quite like that before.
Good fella. How much are those?
It threw me a bit there because usually we don't get visitors and we usually just trade for things. If we're talking monetary value, I can. Couple of coppers.
Really?
Laura nudges Kieran in the back, and as he turns to face her briefly, she just rubs her first two fingers and her thumb together.
Kieran would be in a dilemma here, because Kieran knows that this food is worth a hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind, but I'm afraid you're selling yourself short. These are exquisite. And I definitely, I'm trying to think what you, how much you paid for your stuff.
I think I paid, didn't I give him a gold piece or something? And, yeah, or 10 gold or, no, I think I gave him a gold piece or something, yeah. And had a load, didn't I?
I would definitely say that this would be at least a silver minimum.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
This is very fine quality.
Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate your honesty. And he's clearly, like, he doesn't really know how to respond to this. He's, you know, he's grinning and he's smiling and he's got kind of this blush across his face is red already, but it, you know, he's got this kind of this flush across his cheeks and he doesn't really know how to respond to this, you can right. tell.
Well, Kieran's going to count up and look at how many there are and how many sausage rolls there are. And stuff, and I take it that the people will be coming in from the fields to pick their food from you later.
Yes, yeah. So, well, of course you wouldn't know. You're not from around here. Because the majority of are, you know, the people in the village, they all work in the fields. And, you know, it's just myself and Doe and Joy and Joy's not here at the moment. She's on. But, you know, there's a handful of us who work within the town. Mary's up at the tavern. I'm guessing you've already spoken to Mary.
Oh, yeah, she sent us.
Oh, Mary's lovely, lovely, yeah. You know, most of us work out in the fields, so we usually open quite late. So we, you know, I'll start baking after, you know, mid-afternoon now. I'll start baking things up, and then I'm usually, you know, open till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So people come and get when they want, and we just tend to work later here, I guess.
It's just that I don't. These are exquisite, and I'd like to buy quite a few items, but I don't want to leave the village with no food.
Oh, no worries about that. I can put more in the oven right away.
Oh, awesome! Ha! Right.
I can cook more quantities. I've got. And he starts listing off a long list of what he cooks or what he can cook, what he can make for you. Because obviously he hasn't got his full range out. He's just started putting stuff in the oven and, you know, he breaks off and he's like, oh, sorry, hang on 1 second. Partway through the list, grabs a paddle and goes and pulls another thing out of the oven and pops it down. And you can see it's a sweet pastry this time. It's like almost like a yum yum that you get from Greg's.
They're nice.
No. They're like, it's like a kind of like a twisted kind of, they're like bready, aren't they?
Bready doughy.
They're like kind of like a bready croissant doughy kind of thing.
Oh.
And it's,
yes.
It's like a twisted thing and it's got, you know, it's got like some kind of fruit jam running through it. He's just pulling more and more out and he gives you an entire list of, you know, all of the kind of common bakery items that you can think of. Classic ones, like donuts and stuff like that. You know, he does everything here.
Right. Well, I think that I right.
And the list of pies he can do is as long as his arm. I mean, he says like, "Oh, we mostly do venison pies, but if you wanted, I can go and get some beef from the butchers or some pork from the butchers. I could definitely do that. We trade a couple of loaves of bread and whatnot, and yeah, we can do those for you if you want."
Oh my!
Well, these things are quite nice. These things are quite nice, Kieran. I get some of these and like some of those Some of those tart things like Mary made, but these are good.
He looks at you, and obviously you're kind of stood there, kind of flabbergasted, because you're like, I don't know what to take. He looks at you. I can, if you want, okay. It's just a suggestion from me, because you're looking very torn here, and I'm honestly quite flattered by that, because I'm just a small town baker. I'm quite flattered that you think my food is so good, and yeah, I appreciate your honesty, and obviously you. You said Ivona was back, and oh, bless the poor wee little lamb. And oh, I can help. I can do an entire selection of everything I do if you want. And I tell you what, I'll bake as much as you want. You know, if you want X number of days of rashes, I'm not sure how well they'll keep. But if you wanted X number of days, I can cook and bake everything over. You know, tonight, tomorrow, and you know, some of it might not be. Hot, and I suppose if you're using it as rations, it won't be hot, but I can cook however much you want, an entire selection. of whatever I can think of.
Why don't you do what I did, Kevin? Why don't you just get like a gold piece's worth or something, or a couple of gold pieces worth?
Gold pieces. That's a bit much, honestly. Gold piece.
Believe me, this quality. My family is, you know, okay. I come from Frab, right? The main capital.
Oh, the big. That's well.
And I'll tell you something now. That there, if we was to take that on picnics, as we used to do, my parents would be ecstatic. So you're definitely undermining yourself, young sir. So, no, right. We'll have a nice selection. And we'll have... if you could do me roughly... let's have a look here. I definitely want... 8 of those, and he points to the square things. No, actually, I'll have 10.
Of the rounds.
Of the meat rounds. Yeah. 10 meat rounds. That is a minimum. Oh. Right?
Yeah. Wow.
So that would be 1 gold piece. Right? So, see, we are getting into gold.
He almost pales at that, and then kind of he sways back and he's like, okay.
And then I'll have 5 of everything else.
Oh, wow. Most certainly. When do you want the buy? I might not be able to.
What do you reckon? We'll be here.
We'll be here probably tomorrow. We'll probably stay a couple of days, won't we, I reckon?
Yes.
I see no reason why not.
Yes.
Alora's positively bouncing from left to right foot on the spot. She's quite excited because this food looks amazing.
Well, I can... quite a lot. I'm more than up to the challenge. But I can pre-cook the sweet stuff that will hold, because obviously most sweet stuff you don't eat warm anyways, if you wish. And if you let me know when you're kind of leaving closer, I'll prep everything and get it in the oven before you go and make sure it's hot.
Yes, because we've got a magnificent friend that has a trick. I will say no more.
Yeah, don't question it. Let's just say that we can keep hot food hot.
Well, that's quite amazing. Oh, I really want to ask now, but that would be rude. So. No, that is... absolutely, you'll get that sorted. I'll go and start prepping.
Just tell me roughly how much.
It can't be more than a couple of gold, if that's what you insist.
Oh, that's... We'll make... don't worry. We will sort you out, sir. Do not worry. This is fantastic. And I will tell people of you. Believe me.
Oh, that would... I'm not sure many people will make the trip down, but... That's...
For this view, they might.
Are you aiming to make Stagwick the gourmet central of Strat? Okay.
Okay. You could start tours of bakeries, couldn't you? Ironwick, Stagwick. You could do like an Innistrad tour of bakeries.
Are you leaving Buck's Bakes then?
Yes.
Okay, so you're leaving Buck's Bakes with the agreement that you've ordered a bogload of stuff from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he will, if when you give him a date of when you're going, or you know, a time when you're going, he'll make sure that everything's piping hot and ready. Okay, so you head back out into the street. What are you doing now? So, Kieran, while you're kind of deciding what you're going to do, as you walk out back onto the street, Kieran, you've obviously just brought up the memory of your parents and a summer picnic that you had once. Can you tell me a bit more about your summer picnics as a child?
You know, back in those days, you know, mother and father would, or mama and papa, depending on how were we feeling, used to take us out onto the grounds, obviously, because we, you know, weren't allowed to go outside the grounds at a younger age. Shall we say, is, you know, we used to go down by one of the lakes, straight ponds, and in one of the many summer houses and have these wonderful picnics. We you know, amble on down, and then the servants would bring the food later on a nice great big blanket. We'd just talk and be merry, and me and my brothers used to, well, mainly me and Casper, really, you know, we used to go for a swim in the old lake stroke pond. And we used to have a really jolly time, you know, we had a old ripe swing, we'd swing over, and it was great fun.
I don't think I've ever heard you reminisce before.
Well, it was the smell of these pastries took me back.
Ah, trigger.
Honestly, I am no kidding you now, if that baker was in France, he would be making a fortune.
Well, maybe that's your way of doing good for someone. Maybe you can... Maybe Casper can take some stuff. Maybe Casper can take some stuff back up to Throgham. I know it's not really his business, but he's in business of moving goods, and I have to say, from being in Ironfort and then seeing that, I think maybe you can actually help these people to be a little bit more wealthy themselves. Not that they're asking for more money, but I think a lot of people are missing out.
You know, that's an excellent idea.
I think it is.
I'm just wondering whether, you know, because obviously food, we're lucky because we have all of them. If Casper could get your hands on a couple of bags like Orland,
yeah,
and use those, I am telling you now that there's some serious money that these people could be making.
Well, maybe that's something we should talk to Casper about. Maybe we can see if Casper will help us in a little bit of business that will help us to help other people as well. Everybody could win out of this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I do look at things from a business point of view because I understand what Casper does.
Well, yes. I mean, unfortunately,
I'm not averse to a little bit of business and also help other people out in the process, whether they, you know, assuming they want it, but I don't suppose that they'll turn gold away if it's...
No. Helping people out is fine, but obviously the business, you know, older two brothers have got the estates. Casper, he's gone into, you know, business. He's the... should we say the rogue of the family? What? Me, I was just... I hit things. I'm quite good at that, I suppose, but...
Well,
I'm never really into the business.
Stick to what you're good at, is what I say.
Oh, yes. Yes, and help people. Hit things and help people.
You are a kind person. It's something I could see you doing.
I don't know about that. Yes.
Esther!
Yes, Davey, what?
Well, we're busy reminiscing and talking business here, but... What do you want to do? Is there something you need from here? I hear there's a good wine shop.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be adverse.
I believe it's just down there. If you go through the arches, I believe it's just down there.
You're really pushing it at the moment, dearie. I'm
not
that bad.
Come on, Esther. You might as well just let your hair down. Live a little.
She scoffs at you. Oh, dearie, you won't be living a little with all those pastries you consume. That's just bad for your heart, you know. And I'm not healing it.
Well,
you would damn well deal with it on your own.
Well, I know that, but I was trying to be kind.
Okay, ladies, right. oh, dear. Right, so what have we got to do? We've got to sort our very gracious friend out. At some point.
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Might be an idea to go and have a look in the field, so if we could find this mare.
Well, yes, I suppose.
But we've got horses in the stables.
Well, I don't know much, but four or five people riding across fields that they're growing wheat or something is usually frowned upon. So, you know, we could have a quick old walk. It doesn't look that far.
Yes, I suppose. Hey, pastries and shopping aside, it's there is still a potential vampire on the loose.
Yes, because one would imagine that they are probably over in the arable fields, and then we'll have a quick look around the grazing fields to see if we can find any signs, because obviously it's the animals that are being attacked.
Oh yes, at the moment.
At the moment, obviously. Yes, yes, yes.
It could escalate.
But obviously, I wouldn't have thought that the animals would have been in the arable. They'd be in the grazing field.
Oh yes, of course, yes.
Yeah. Well,
you wouldn't want grazing stock going amongst your crops and cows amongst the cabbages, and it would be dreadful.
Yes, you'd have fat cows.
And no cabbages.
Laura's going to check her side to see whether Rowan's actually gone back into his pouch.
Yeah, you check your side and Rowan isn't there.
She thinks to herself he must be still lying on the table somewhere just recovering. Okay, fine. She's getting used to this now. She worries less these days.
So,
okay,
we're here. So, do you want to have a quick... the arable fields are only there. The grazing fields are only there, whereas the arable fields are over there. Should we have a look around the fields first? See if we can see any sign before going having a tour.
Oh, yes, Laura, you, Esther, does it sound agreeable?
I'm going to go for a walk round town.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well...
There's no point all of us squashing all the crops, is there?
No, we're going over to the grazing fields, dear.
Well,
moo,
okay.
Cows, moo.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, Esther.
Well, I thought you'd be right at home.
Oh, Esther's getting sassy.
Laura's just going to look at her, wide-eyed, and just shake her head and start to laugh. Very good. Oh dear.
Right, shall we be off?
yes, I think
whoever's coming, come. Yes. It is a bit awkward, isn't it? Right, so at that point, Kewin and Ogvar make a hasty retreat. Is Esther going to follow them, or is she going to follow Laura just to annoy her?
No, at this point, as you leave, Esther pops up. Oh, well, I think I'm going to go and have that bath that was promised. So I'm going to go back to the inn and have some peace and quiet, perhaps with a glass of wine, while I soak away my stress for the day.
And you'll hear Kewin over the... coming over the shoulder. Watch it for the mead. I hear it's a bit batty. Ah! As he runs off. As he gets out of range as quick as possible.
Okay, so Esther goes off and she heads back up. You know, she said she's going back to have a bath. You're going to assume she's going to go and have a bath. Right, Laura, what are you doing?
Laura is going to briefly swing past the wine shop and she is going to go and buy a very nice, fine bottle of wine for Esther, as she was suggesting. She feels that maybe she should make a peace offering because Esther's obviously a little bit fringe at the moment. A little bit frayed round the edges.
So you approach, you head up the road, the back road. This is kind of like a compacted, dusty road. You head up and you can see this, it's a very small, it looks like a very, very small shop. It's almost been like added on, built onto the side of someone's house. But surrounded, as you head up, you are surrounded by fields full of grapevines, and they look very flourishing grapevines and hops, big hop frames. It's clearly owned and it's run as a brewery slash vineyard. As you enter in, it's a small shop. It's basically just like a storefront with a counter. There's a variety of wines on offer. You've got a normal wine for 5 gold, a fine wine for 10 gold, and a special reserve for 25 gold.
Right. Allura is going to go with the special reserve.
Okay. You get a bottle of special reserve stag wine.
And do they actually do goblets as well?
Would
they have something like that?
I mean, you asked this gentleman and he looks a bit puzzled. And he explains to you that, you know, they don't really sell goblets, they sell wine. However, they do have a nice goblet which he wouldn't mind letting go of for like 5 gold.
Fine. She will take the goblet.
Yeah, it's quite a nice goblet.
Yeah, so she will take the bottle of wine and the goblet for 5 gold.
30 gold all in.
30 gold, sorry, 5 gold, yeah. Yeah, nice try.
Yeah. Bluff check. Failed.
Yeah, she's going to take that. And she's going to ask him if he has anything to wrap it in.
No, he doesn't have anything to wrap it in.
That's fine.
The wine bottle itself comes in a small wooden box, okay, which is packed with like straw.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a special reserve box, and it comes in. He pops the lid on. He smacks a couple of tacks in to keep it in, and it's got burnt onto. It's actually like kind of pressed on with a hot poker. You can like a molded hot poker. A stag's head and like the word stag reserves.
Fine. She's going to thank the man profusely and she's going to pay him his 30 gold and she's going to leave and go back to the inn.
Okay. So, leaving you, Cumin and Ogvar.
Rude.
Cumin and Ogvar, you head towards the fields. So I take it you're going to go through the other side of the archway onto the same dirt path that Allura would have gone onto.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to kind of turn left. And there isn't like a dedicated opening. You would have to climb a fence.
No problem.
No problem for Ogvar. Cumin's wearing armour. No.
Cumin's only got a chain shirt. It's light armour.
I know. It's joking.
The sword's might be a problem.
Yeah, he gets the sword stuck in the fence. Is it? Yeah. Like a dog trying to get through a doorway with a big stick. No. So you are both able to get over the fence at AN point. Okay. So you are in a field.
Right.
It's a nice looking field. It's grassy. The grass is actually quite soft.
It's a nice looking field.
You
it's
find
grassy.
The occasional pile of cow do.
Dung.
I mean, Ogvar, to you, this cow do, you're not experienced with cows, but you know goats. And this cow do looks very well, it looks very fibrous and well. It looks like it belongs to a healthy cow.
Excellent. Yeah. There's a cow pat around here, so it must be in the right field for the livestock.
Well, yes. I wouldn't like to see the... If it was a dog or a cat, I wouldn't like to see the size of a dog or a cat.
Be a dire cat.
Yes. Wow. Right. So.
Shall we go and find somebody who's maybe in charge of the livestock?
Oh yes. We can have a look.
Can we see the livestock?
Yeah, you can see cows. They are healthy looking cows. They look big cows. Make me a spot check. And.
Both.
Yes, both make me a spot check.
That is a 4 plus 11, which would be 15.
And that's a natural 20 with a 5.
Oh,
okay. So, you can see, as you look around the field, obviously you see cows, you see them, you know, stood up grazing. And pick me a 10% range, Allura.
20 to 30.
70, there isn't a bull in the field. And yeah, so what did you get on your score, sorry?
15.
Okay. So looking around, I mean, you're pretty good. You've got a pretty good kind of line of sight. But actually, it's you who notices first, Kewin. You can see in the distance there is what appears to be a person wandering around the field with the cows.
By the look of it, there's a field hand or a farmer or stockman or whatever they call it, just over yonder. Should you go and ask him?
Well, yes, I suppose. We'll find where the mayor is.
Yes, I sort of realised one thing we didn't check before we got in the field.
What's that?
A bull. But luckily, I cannot see one. But next field, before we jump in, might be an idea to look around for a bull, because they can be quite nasty.
Oh, yes, but as long as you're quick on your feet. And...
In other words...
We have plenty of time and experience with this, and the goats, when you get a goat hanging, you can to ram you, and a bit of fun.
Oh, okay.
Bit of goat dodging.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, so you are heading across the field, yeah?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Looking where we're going.
As you're going, both of you make me another spot check, please.
Oh, this is going to be really bad now.
Luckily. Not luckily, but... Okay.
Okay.
At a 2 plus 5, that's 7. Okay. Cupid.
And a 9 plus 11, which is 20.
Okay, so, Ogvar, as you walk across the field, you notice this grass is reasonably thick, and in a couple of these, like, kind of tuftier, thicker bits, you notice a couple of rather strange-looking mushrooms.
Hey.
These mushrooms are black and white, exactly like a cow. The same kind of patination on their domed caps.
Cool.
They're about a fist size, and you know, you see maybe like 2 or 3 in a clump. And make me a... You can make me a find mushroom check.
Okay.
This will act kind of a bit like a knowledge check in this situation.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's going to be 27.
A 27.
Which
right.
is a 13 and a 14.
Okay, yeah, lovely. So this isn't one of the couple, I mean, you've been reading through the book quite diligently. However, this isn't one of the mushrooms that you have kind of fully committed to memory yet. However, you do remember that these are edible. Very safe to eat.
Okay. Sorry, it's too much rumbling. So Ogar will bend down and pick one up.
Yeah.
We'll go in. These, what are they called?
You don't remember. You remember, you like looking at them, you know them, but you just remember that they're edible.
I remember. I remember reading about these in a book. I can't remember all the details completely, but I'm pretty sure they're edible.
You're almost certain they're edible.
I'm almost certain they're edible.
Oh, right. I take it there in Portia's book.
Oh, yes.
Well, we'll take some and you can have a read on them later.
Okay, I suppose so.
I
don't want to try one now.
You want me to try? Oh, okay. Okay. I'll try one. I take you, I'm the guinea pig. Yeah, you're as bad as Casper, my older brother. If you don't, give it to Kiwi. Yes, okay. Right, okay. Right, here goes.
But if I'm still standing, then I can pick some more then.
Oh, that's very true. Very true.
Okay, so
here we go.
So you take a bite out of the mushroom.
Yes.
Okay, it has got a absolutely delightful flavour. It tastes almost of like kind of seasoned ground beef.
Oh, ready.
It's lovely. Make me a constitution save.
Oh dear.
Well. That's not going to go well. At a nat one.
Oh!
With a one.
With a one! Okay, Ogva, roll me 2d10, please.
2d10? Oh, Christ, okay. What's going on here? Let's go for it. I got a 7 and a 3.
Okay. So, Cumin.
You grow orders.
You chew on this this mushroom. It is absolutely lovely. And then, with an audible kind of puff, and a puff of smoke, Ogvar, you are now stood next to a cow. Cumin, you have turned into a cow for the next 100 minutes.
Ah!
And Ogvar, when you check, it is a bull.
Okay. This has taken a very bizarre turn.
So, Cumin,
as
you chew away, you are happy as Larry. And you get this kind of moment when you're like, something very odd is happening. And the next thing you know, you are stood on four legs and your viewpoint of the world has changed slightly.
Chewing the cud.
Right. So. Okay. One question.
Yeah.
You can still not actually speak.
You can't speak, no.
Right. So. Cumin, at this point, would slowly turn his head towards Ogvar.
Yep.
And Ogvar would look at him
and let out a huge bellow. And reasonably firmly headbutt him.
Steady now. Steady.
And then he would do it again. And then start pouring the grass. And going...
Your Ogvar, can you make your sense motive check, please?
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
Oh, God.
Let's move set up slightly.
As the companions congregated at Buck's Bakes, they found themselves immersed once more into a mouth-watering plethora of pasties, pies and pastries, which saw everyone eager to experience such outstanding offerings. Esther continued to extend her churlish attitude towards Allura before beating a hasty retreat for a bath back at the Heart and Hearth. Meanwhile, the men set off on a mini mission of their own in an effort to track down the town mayor, and Allura decided it was time to offer an olive branch to Esther in a bid to appease any further acrimony as she set out in search of Stackwick's brewery. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word, so others like you can find us, and in turn, they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.